Hello, you're listening to Words to the Wise. I'm your host, Francesca Quarto. Today's guest is Emilio Aiello, and he has a really interesting background. He's a cybersecurity expert, and he's a writer. In fact, he's written poetry and fiction and nonfiction alike. He is the author of a new book. It's for young adults, and it's called The Webpage Chronicles, which really, Emilio, that is a very unique marriage of careers, cybersecurity and the author. We would really enjoy hearing how that came about.
Well, thank you for having me here today. Well, two things I've always been passionate about is writing and cybersecurity. And once my daughter was born, I thought this would be a perfect opportunity to merge them together and to write a book that hopefully that she'd be able it would be published so that she'd be able to read it and see what her dad did.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And I understand from just a brief conversation, you're outlining your next book. Is it going to be the same subject as the Webpage Chronicles? And you'll have to tell us what that's about.
Yes. I was very excited with the way the Webpage Chronicles turned out. And I really found that I enjoyed writing for the young adult market. And with the importance that cybersecurity plays and how many kids today are very smart on the internet and how to use it, I think it's just a natural do a follow-up storyline with the character that I actually fell in love with writing about and creating a next adventure for her to take people on.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, I know that your subject is kind of scary in a way because there's a lot of stuff out there that's dark and can be very harmful to our young people. Is your book, The Webpage Chronicles, is it going into those particular dark areas?
It is, and I think it's very important, especially with the way kids are today. They're very computer smart, actually in some cases smarter than their parents. They know how to use the computers. They know how to use the internet. And I thought that, you know, to bring up, to write a story that centers around internet use, especially amongst young kids, it was important to be very truthful. They're very smart. And so I wanted to bring in topics that were truthful to their own experience and certainly as a way that they can relate to it as far as the threats that are out there from cyberbullying, predators, and just be able to address that frankly, and also hopefully that this would provide an avenue that parents and children can talk together about these issues.
Oh, yeah, because you made it accessible as a family book, really, so that the parents could be as guided as the kids. In this case, they can actually talk it over with the kids and give them instruction. You know, I read an interesting quote by you kind of suggesting that I'm a writer myself, and I know what it's like to have a writer's block, but you don't believe in writer's block. That's what the quote actually indicated. Do you ever feel like you're going to run out of information or things to talk about in this particular area? Because there's a lot of stuff out there on cyberbullying. What can you bring that's new to it?
Well, I mean, certainly one of the better things about working in cybersecurity and working with the internet is that with the way things are going, I have complete job security. It's never going away. So that is one good. And with that comes the challenges that comes with internet and with the ability with. Technology developing always is that there's always going to be new threats and new ways that it can be abused. And with that, you know, force people like in my field to always be educated on it. Always, you have to be as smart as the bad guys that are using it. And unfortunately, as I always like to say, the bad guys right now always have a step ahead of the rest of us. So that it, you know, forces us to always maintain our awareness, to always get educated on the new threats and the way new things happen. So now,
right.
It's a self-sustaining ecosystem that way.
Now, do you, when you're writing for a young audience, do you have to, like, dummy it up, or do you think the kids are really tuned in to your lingo, so to speak?
Definitely from what I have seen, and especially through as my daughter's getting older, and I've known, like, my brother's kids are a little older than she is during their teens, early teens, that these
yeah.
kids are really smart. They're really smart. So when it comes to, like, language as far as with computer use or that type of a vocabulary that associated with that, they know it. I mean, that is not the hard part. The hard part is to be able to, you know, hopefully convey a character that they can immediately relate to. Since I'm not, you know, 12, my own age, is being able to just really to get that character and language to associate it. But I found that most of the kids that I've talked to, whether it be my relatives, nephews, nieces, or even my friends' kids, they really know computers, and they're way ahead of certainly like where I was at that age.
Oh, that's great. I agree with that. I really think that they're in the schools. The kids use them for all their homework. I mean, they're everywhere. So they are much more attuned than I am, for instance. I had to learn the hard way. But I guess I'm wondering, are you going to keep the middle-aged kids, the middle grade kids, as your age group that you want to target in your next writing?
Yeah, I definitely think so. Once the webpage chronicles, I was done with that. I like I said, I really enjoyed the character of Web, and I was very intrigued with you know, where she was going, and I think I want to explore that more. And I think the webpage chronicles was a great introduction, but there's so much more to do with that, especially with computers as a career for kids, as a major for kids. These opportunities now exist where it wasn't really so prevalent, maybe like when I was in college or perhaps you were in college. Now these opportunities
yeah.
exist. And I think, you know, the more I can, you know, hopefully integrate this into the lexicon of middle grade, especially, I think that's a very important time, because that's when kids are really, you know, understanding now not only the benefits of internet, but also beginning to understand a little bit of the dangers that exist. I like that target area to explore more on.
And probably, just my estimation, but wouldn't your kids will actually be instructing you on how to instruct the kids? Do you know what I mean? You'll use them as your, your templates in a sense.
Absolutely. Like, so my daughter right now is 6 years old. She knows what computers are. She uses them. And right now my challenge that I see as a cybersecurity practitioner is to start to now educate her. Now, here are the best things about the internet, but there's some bad things about the internet. And really to show her that there's a marriage of good and bad, and really is how to recognize the bad and how to operate responsibly on the internet. And then that's kind of like, you know, my goal with this type of focus, especially on the young adult level.
Oh, that's – now, are you going to carry that through, you say your outline, the second book at this point, I guess a follow-up or a sequel to the web page? Is this still going to be the same character, though?
Absolutely, the same characters, and I'm just going to, to build them out more. And probably bring in a couple of the secondary characters that I introduced in the first book. They'll come out a little bit more as well. So kind of
run
them out.
That's great. That's
Well, thank you. I love my characters, and I just want to see more of them. And I don't know if that's just being too excited about my own writing, but I did like them, and I want to see more what they do.
Well, that's great. And so you're going to develop a whole series. I can see that right now. I kind of wish you would do something for the adults, or has this already happened? Because, cybersecurity for senior citizens and people that are taken advantage of that maybe don't have the same background, obviously, that you have a very exclusive background as a cybersecurity expert. Have you thought about expanding your writing to cover that group too?
Well, I tell you, it's funny that you mentioned that. My mother is not necessarily, I would say, a senior. Yeah, well, she would be about that age now, and I see what she does, and I cringe sometimes when she tells me, and I'm like, okay, I try to explain to her, you know, what to look out for, and point out some heads up. So I do think there is an opportunity there as well.
That's really, I'm laughing because I have a son who is a computer scientist engineer, and he is a security expert too, and he is always yelling at me about my use of the computer and my social, networks and so forth. So, yeah, the guide is very important. You know, now I'm interested in your background scholastically. You did a lot of your undergrad work in writing. Is that right? English writing, journalism? What was it?
My undergrad was in English. My graduate was I got a master's in fine arts in fiction writing, and that was my first love. And I was headed down to where I was going to be a teacher. Cybersecurity came in.
How exactly did you get into cybersecurity?
Totally by accident. And kind of stumbled in there about 2000, year 2000. I was working at a place, and another place that did cybersecurity said, hey, we need a technical writer. I said, sure, it's more money. I said, I'll help you guys out. And it was really like, I call it an old style apprenticeship, because I didn't have none of my schooling was anything in computers or technology, but it was much hands-on. So I was working with people that networked. I was working with people that did forensics. I worked with people that like did investigations.
Got an
amazing apprenticeship that way. And then I never thought I would do anything serious other than like I want to do writing or English or teaching that way. And then I found this, and I said, wow, this intrigued me.
That's it's very exciting. It sounds exciting, and it has that edginess to it. That's pretty cool. Have you ever considered writing, and I bet you have, writing a book, a fiction, a mystery, using the computer and your knowledge of cybersecurity and so forth? That seems like a ready-made, recipe for something really exciting and interesting.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. So one of the writings that I do on the side is I do screenplays. And I'd actually written a screenplay, like a thriller, espionage, based with cyber. While it got a little bit of interest by some people, it didn't really go far. But I'm like, well, I can maybe make that a book. And so that is definitely on my to-do list. It's already written, and the outline is already written.
That's excellent. That's your creative juices are flowing. That, I love it. So you really do not believe in writer's block. That's good. That's good. What do you like to read? I am just curious, because you have one of those disciplined kind of minds. What do you like to read?
To be honest, I read everything. But I have I will read scientific journals, intelligence journals, but a lot of fiction, a lot of poetry, a lot of playwriting. I love theater as well. So I always have what I call my work-related reading, and then my fun reading. And as I always tell people that ask, I said, well, my truly guilty pleasure of reading, I call it like my guilty pleasure. I love pulp fiction books, like film noir, those pulp by Dashiell Hammett, Raymond Chandler. That's I love that. I wish I could write like that. I do enjoy those books just for pure entertainment on my end. But I do like to read anything that has an interest, because it could either fuel an idea or support an idea, or at least lead me to somewhere else I can go to.
That's great. It shows that you have an eclectic mind and taste, and you're bringing in all of that into your writing, obviously. And actually, it sounds like you're bringing it into your work. I would think your work needs a lot of imagination as a cybersecurity specialist. Do you think that's true?
I could not agree with you more. One of the things that – so I've worked in the government before now, and I worked in the government as a cybersecurity an analyst for them. And a lot of the stuff that we're looking at the bad guys, how they operate, you know, how they think. A lot of that is you have to be creative as well, like they are, because the bad guys are very creative when it comes to, like, if they want to break into your house, they can smash the window, sure, or they can do it more subtly so you don't even know they're there. And figure out how to do that, figure out the way they think. That's what really the creative aspect of what I do comes into play. And that's one of the things that really drew me to this very technical side, is that I don't necessarily have to, you know, break down a computer, rebuild it, and do that. There are other jobs in cybersecurity that allows you to be more creative, be more forward thinking, and that's really a lot of what I do in cybersecurity. It has to do with looking at the bad guys, how they think, what they think they'll go after next, and really try to get in their mind, kind of profile them, and figure out, okay, how can this be applied to companies, to businesses, to schools? How can they use that to better secure themselves? So, yeah, there's a lot of creativity that goes into that.
Well, it sounds like you have the perfectly trained mind and background to do that. But I also get the feeling that you are constantly training, that you are constantly looking and searching for other ways to look at your field and to look at your writing. So it seems, if I can sum it up, your writing informs your job and your job informs your writing.
It is a very symbiotic relationship, absolutely. And I don't know if this is for other writers or other people, but for me, this is amazing that I was able to combine these two seemingly opposite, you know, left brain, right brain faculties together. And for me, it works very well that way.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a good balance, and it's kept you very creative in both your job, you know, where you actually get paid a lot, and your avocation is your writing at this point. Maybe you'll turn that around one day. Do you think you'll encourage your children to take this very unique path, which you took from a very creative, the writing and English and all that, and then look into the sciences? I mean, what do you think about that as a some way to describe to your kids how they can become more full adult, you know, more experienced?
Absolutely. I think because the interest is already there and the knowledge is already there with computers. And what I want to do is to absolutely encourage not only the use, but like I said, the understanding, how to operate responsibly on there, but then also like say, hey, there's a lot of potential careers this way if you're interested, but if not, here's some things that you can actually use to maybe use that, use the computer technology to help support then your other interests and goals. So really, where computers used to have such a, I want to say, a negative connotation back in the 70s and stuff like that, but it is now, you know, completely integrated into what everybody does, no matter what field you're in. There's, at some point, it comes to play. And so whether you want to dedicate yourself one way or use that as support means for another, I mean, it's there. Just being able to just understanding how to leverage it best to support your goals and aspirations.
Right. So your tools are very important, and so the more you have, you know, the better you're going to be, you know, productive, the more productive you'll be. So you're kind of, I like that as a guide for, I think that's a good guide for anybody in life, unless you want to give up living. You got to keep on learning and reading. And it sounds like you read eclectically and have a really vast interest in various things. You did say you liked science fiction. Is that correct?
Absolutely. So I do have like my favorite genres per se, but I mean, I never turned down a book. Because I find a lot of value in reading, and especially in areas that you're not necessarily familiar with. So my aunt, mine, when I was younger, she wrote a romance novel, and I was the only one at the time that was interested in reading and stuff. She's like, "Hey, I need you to edit it. Can you edit it?" And I must have been 14 at the time, so I did a romance.
Oh my goodness!
A romance novel. And I gotta tell you, as a 14-year-old boy, I don't read romance novels, but I read hers, and I was like, wow, this is interesting. Like, she played a lot. It was historically set, so I was learning a lot about the time in which it was set in. And it's like, wow, this is actually not bad. I usually saw the romance novels, like, you know, you see the covers, and like, oh my gosh, Fabio.
I know.
Then I actually read it. Wow, and are they all like this? This is not bad. I find value in reading anything, and like I said, if I can pull one, whether it's a newspaper, a journal, a book, if I can pull a nugget out of that I can use or build upon, then hey, it's been more than well worth it to me.
Now, as a writer, and wearing that hat specifically, you mentioned that you were doing an outline. How organized are you as a writer? Do you always do an outline? Do you always follow it? How many rewrites do you do? I mean, do you have that kind of discipline where you sit and write every day?
Well, I tell you, I before kids, yes. I used to write every day. With kids, it's more challenging to find that time. But I try to write as much as I can. And as far as outlines, so as far as when I started writing novels, I thought I really needed to have at least a skeleton, a skeleton that gave me a general idea of the story, of the arcs, of where I was going with it. Now, personally, I will admit that I'm not a big fan of knowing the ending before I begin, because I like to see where the characters take me. I am a big fan of exploring as I write, and like, oh my gosh, this is a great ending for this, rather than saying, oh no, I have a preconceived notion of where it needs to go, and I've got to fit in the story that way. I always like all the general idea of where it's going, but then leave the ending unknown, just so that so the story, the characters can tell me where it's going.
That's great. Yeah, it gives your characters a chance to really speak to you.
Absolutely. I told you, that's what I want. And then, like, as far as rewriting, that goes, yeah, absolutely. I mean, to me, getting it down on paper is the first step. So then, you know, making it good is where the rewriting comes in. And as much as I would love to say my first drafts are perfect, they're not. There's a lot of rewriting.
Oh, I know that. I know that. Not only a lot of rewriting, but a lot of rewriting after your editor gets it.
Yeah.
I would like to ask, what kind of I know how you were inspired and so forth to find this path to writing and to cyber, which is just so unique as a blend. But what kind of advice would you give an aspiring young writer who wants to undertake something with your kind of background, your cyber knowledge? And let's say it's somebody like myself that it's not really, I can get around a computer because I need to, but somebody like me who's really a neophyte, what would you tell them? What if they think, I've got a really good story for cyber, but I don't know how, where do they get those terminologies in that? How do they learn your craft?
Well, what I love about cyber, two distinct ways, definitely. If you look back from the history of cyber and hacking and hackers back in the 70s, these people never went to formal school, really. They got computers, they learned them, you know, they stripped them down, they looked at, they had that intellectual curiosity about them to learn about them and to use them. And in fact, two people that I work closely with today do not have formal degrees in computer science or anything like that, but they are experts in their field. They know how to hack, they know how to reverse engineer malware, they know how to do these things because of just intellectual curiosity and the willingness to try, experiment, fail, and then succeed. So for me, if anybody wants to get in this, like, just have the intellectual curiosity. I don't think it's necessary to you to get a PhD in computer science, but you have to have enough intellectual curiosity to understand how computers work, how they speak to each other, why we have the issues that happen today, why viruses can happen, why computers don't work if something happens. Just to understand just the mechanism behind that. So just a general familiarity of why the internet, why can I send an email to someone in China and back, you know, how does that work? You don't have to know how to, you know, break down the computer, rebuild it again for that, but just a general concept. And after that, then, your creativity, you know, let your mind explore, let it go out there. and then put it together and then be confident enough to show it to somebody and say, hey, what do you guys think? Is this, first of all, is it feasible? Make sure that it's, you know, make sure like that the people that are maybe technically smarter or technically more capable understand, like, can this happen? And then two, is it a good story? Were you entertained? Did you like it? You didn't like it? And I think that's it. I think for me, as a writer, two things propelled me to what I want to do and where I'm doing now is that I read a lot and I write a lot. And people say, like, would you mind, and have thick skin because, hey, I've been rejected a billion times. Like, I'm sure, like, all that. Good criticism. I've had really scathing criticism. But never taking it personally and say, hey, what can I learn from it and how do I make it better? And then, if this is what I want to do, then, you silly to let your detractors stop you. You push forward.
Well, that sounds like good advice for life, too. You know, if you don't try it, you'll never know if you can do it. I guess I just have we're kind of getting low on our time here, and I don't want to run out of time with you before I ask a few other questions. You write about this book, Webpage Chronicles, is wonderful for kids, and it's just great for adults too, actually, as a good guide for talking to your kids. But do you ever have to kind of watch what you're putting in your books, or do you ever have to have things? You can't divulge things, obviously, that are trade secrets. But do you ever have to run your books by your superiors? Does that sound like a weird question? But I don't know, because you're in a very delicate kind of profession.
Sure, I mean, absolutely. That's a great question. I don't necessarily, quote unquote, have to, but because, like, as much as I like to think I'm really good at what I do, there's always someone better, and I always run it by people that I know that are smarter about certain aspects. So, yeah, for when I was done with Webpage Chronicles, I gave it to two or three colleagues of mine that were very technically smart, very very sophisticated with how these things. Say, just make sure it's correct, because the last thing I want to do is say something that's, well, not really right or kind of right. I want everything to be right. So yeah,
right.
I mean, so just so to make sure that I can't think of anything worse than to be put something forward like this that wasn't technically correct. I willingly gave it to them. They read it through. They made their edits accordingly and gave me the final product. So, like I said, I never mind someone reading it, reading anything I do for whatever reason, just to give me whether it's a sanity check or just to make sure that literally everything I say here can happen, it's possible, and just give it that real authenticity.
I think that's very important in any kind of book, like even your romance books. If it's, the background is, back in the 1800s, you don't want to introduce something that doesn't belong in there, like a streetcar. But I was going to say, do you have your book is just fascinating to me because I love stuff for young kids that doesn't talk down to them. But we have a really brief period of time here to wrap up. Would you like to discuss your book a little bit? Just your main character, of course, is Webb. And isn't that her nickname? Is that right?
Well, that's right. That's her nickname. It's based on her first name and her two middle names that were based on the grandmother's great-grandmother, on her mother's side.
Ah, okay. That's great. I love talking to you. And I just, I wish we could go, I know we could go on forever. I know people have lots of questions they would like to ask you. They can find you at your website. Do you want to give us that really quickly?
Sure. It's at HTTPS and then EmilioIcielo.com.
Okay, great. Well, Emilio, I just really want to thank you so much for being with us this evening. I'm sorry we missed you when we first were going to talk, but I've just so enjoyed the conversation, and I wish you the best for the holidays. I just have a quick, some words of the wise, for the wise. Before we sign off, from David Barclay Moore, reading is a form of listening. So there you go, folks, and we want to thank our special guest again. Good night.
Thank you for having me.